Tell Me What to Read is recorded on the lands of the Wangal people, and we pay our respects to all elders past and present, and extend our welcome to any First Nations people listening today. This is Tell Me What to Read, brought to you by Booktopia. I'm your host, Nick Wasiliev, and welcome to the show where we chat about the next great books you should be reading with the authors behind them and familiar faces who read them. All books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au, and the links can be found in the description.
I'm Hannah Armstrong, and today in the studio with a very exciting guest. Now, you might know our guest for today as the first bisexual and First Nations bachelorette in 2021. These days, she co-hosts her own podcast, Not So PG, and is a mental health advocate, as well as an advocate for the First Nations and LGBTQIA+ communities. And she can now add published author to that list. Welcome to the pod, Brooke Blurton.
Thank you so much.
Does that sound like really surreal to hear? Like congrats on your memoir.
Thank you, first of all. Yes, I don't think I've got my head around it. Like, I know I've spent the last year and a bit actually putting it to paper, and it's just weird to think that now I can actually say that, like, I'm an author.
Yeah, and like hold it in your hands.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to that feeling. Every time I hold it, I'm like, this is not mine. This is not
This just came into being all by itself.
Yeah.
So I should probably mention the book is called Big Love, and it's actually out today. So today's the release date, which is super exciting.
Yes.
Obviously, in the book, you talk about that you grew up in WA and you moved to Melbourne at the beginning of last year. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. Yes. How's Melbourne treating you these days?
Other than the weather, it's good. I love being on the East Coast. I think being more, accessible to jobs is really exciting, because in Perth, you know, you're so far away, so you don't really get a lot of the exciting jobs that, you know, people are doing like every week, because it's just, yeah, too hard. But now being in Melbourne, like, the people that I've met is amazing. The communities I've actually just, like, you know, been a part of and, like, gravitated towards are amazing. I'm really loving it. The weather, I'm such a coastal girl, as you would know, like, being on the, you know, being close to the ocean is where I feel best, most at home. And so the ocean and the beaches here, they need some work.
it's not ideal.
No. I have tried to love them, but I've also been, you know, down Great Ocean Road and the Mornington Peninsula, so that actually makes it probably more worthwhile getting out and about in those areas to get my little ocean fix.
Yeah, totally. Melbourne's actually really beautiful. You just need to, like, work a little harder to find the nice beaches.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm super excited to talk to you about the book. I was lucky enough to get an early copy, and I completely devoured it over the last, like, 2 days. It's very, very touching and gripping and brilliantly written. And you made it so easy to kind of, like, step into your shoes and, like, experience those things. It was incredible. So big kudos to you. Okay, so for everyone listening, you're going to hear a heap about Big Love and about Brooke's incredible story. And then Brooke is going to share with us a couple of book recommendations. And then, as usual, we'll close it off with some rapid fire questions. If that sounds good to you, Brooke, we're going to dive straight in.
Perfect.
Awesome. So I want to start with a quote from the book that opens up chapter one, because I think it really perfectly sets the stage for the book. Story starts somewhere, and parts of mine have been told by a lot of others so far. So this is me taking it back. This time it's just me and you here, no camera, no makeup, no screens. Can you, like, expand on that a little bit for me? Like, why did you decide to write a memoir? Was that something that you always wanted to do, or did you just start writing and this is what came pouring out?
A couple of years ago, on my vision board, my friends and I, every year we do, like, a vision board catch up at the start of the year. And so I put that I wanted a book, and on the book actually said biography. So I was manifesting it, and I didn't even know. So I had on my list that I wanted to write a book, and I wanted it to be sort of educational more so. I wanted it to tell people about First Nations culture, but tell a bit about my story. So I never thought in 5 years that I'd be writing my own memoir at 27, and I was only 22 at the time. So full circle moment for me, amazing. But it's been really hard because my story is really raw. And I guess, you know, half of it is very public. So through the shows that I've been on, through Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, a lot of my story has just been, you know, publicized and twisted and told in such a different way to what I would describe it and say it. And I wanted it to, I sort of wanted it to be reclamation. So taking that all back and saying, actually, guys, this is my story. If you'd like to read it, here it is. Rather than reading it through, you know, horrible tabloids and news articles and things that are just always trying to do clickbaity things. So yeah, that scene for me is just setting the, you know, the tone of the book, and just saying, if you'd like to read my story, here it is. Here is the truth telling of it. You know, barefoot and uncomplicated, basically.
Yes, I love that. That's such a good way to put it. I love that you and your friends do vision boarding every year, because my friends and I do the exact same thing.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I thought we love it.
Oh, it's
we
such,
just drink some wine.
Yes. Oh, it's such a like millennial girly thing to do. I love it.
It is.
Yes, I love that. And you totally nailed it, by the way. Like, I think some people might think that they already know you because you were like such a big presence on our screens. And you've kind of come across it, like come up in a few different shows now. So it's like, oh, yeah, that's Brooke. Yeah, I know who she is and what she's about. But reading this book for me was such a revelation, because I had absolutely just no idea how much like you'd been through and what an incredible story you have. So you are a proud First Nations woman, and something that's really something that comes through really clearly and brilliantly throughout the book. Can you tell us a little bit more about that part of your identity and what role that now plays in your life? Like, your country is WA, from WA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So I'm living off country, which is definitely very hard, because I think throughout the book, the themes that you notice is my, you know, my connection to country is so strong. And home is such a big part of me, and my First Nations culture is such a big part of me. So, you know, it's part of my identity. It's who I am. And throughout, you know, people have always tried to take that away from me and put me into boxes, or, you know, not identify me. And so, you know, I talk about how much it's inbuilt in me and I can't change that. And I guess how, you know, losing two or three of the women in your family, you lose so much of that matriarchal line. And so my mum and my nan are such a strong component of my book, because everything that I know about my culture and my First Nations, and the knowledge is passed down from my nan and my mum. And more so my nana, and, you know, she's probably the one who instilled in my identity. And you can see there's sort of patterns between my sister and my mum that they struggled sometimes with that. And I've just been able to like take the torch and just like run with it. So, I hope that answers your question. Sorry, I kind of just went on a little bit of a spill, but I feel like just my First Nations culture just runs really deep in my blood, and I do feel like a lot of people always seem to question myself, but then also a lot of other First Nations people, generally because we're either the way that we look or the way that we present ourselves, but they don't actually realize that we walk in multiple worlds in our lives, especially two worlds, having to navigate Western society, but then also our First Nations culture. And obviously that is partly a result of colonization and having to adapt to this, you know, Western society. But, you know, it comes through strong.
Yeah.
It's a very strong gene.
That definitely answers my question. And one of my favorite aspects of the book was your nan and your relationship with your nan, who just seemed like such a beautiful person. And it was really lovely to like get that kind of peek inside that beautiful relationship that you have with her.
Thank you. When I started writing the book, I kind of didn't take the project part of it, of actually doing it, really lightly. Like, I felt like I wasn't just writing my own story. I was writing my nana's and my mum's. And unfortunately, my sister passed away last year. So, you know, she's a big part of that as well. So, you know, I had to really think about, you know, what I wanted to capture for the book. And I'm lucky that I still have these really fond and strong memories of what they've instilled in me and what we, you know, what it was like growing up. So I was really lucky in that, because we don't have a lot of photos to show that.
Yeah, no, that's really beautiful. It really did come through, and it was amazing to read about. You did share, apart from those like big losses in your life, you did get very personal about a number of things and like the way you grew up, and there was a lot of uncertainty in your childhood and moving from place to place. Was it hard to get really raw and vulnerable like that on paper, or did it come naturally? Like, was it a relief?
Some of these were just so hard to put to paper, because it's easy to just, you know, and the thing is, I wanted to make the book really like as if you were having a conversation with me and I was just telling you all these things. Obviously that's, you know, some books and memoirs are like that, but I wanted it to make it really accessible and really easy to read, first of all. And so some of the actual past like paragraphs in the book are just recordings that I've actually been able to transcribe, and I've just been talking about it as if I was just having a conversation with you. And, you know, transcribe it and fix it up and, you know, and tell the depth of the story. So for me, I have been the last year scared about some of the things that I do talk about and disclose, but I know that in the long run, I think it's really important for people to know that about me, but also I think it's really important for people to know that young people are going through similar experiences. And I think it's quite eye-opening and sort of puts it into perspective sometimes. So I was a bit scared to open up, but I feel like I think I could see why it would be so important for people to know that. And you know, it's raw, and that's just me as well. Like, I just feel like I'm a very honest and open person, open book, as you will. So, you know, I just feel like it was just a natural progression of just like having a yarn, talking about my experiences, and then kind of diving deep into sort of, you know, what could people take away from this, but also, you know, what do I want to share that could help change people's lives maybe?
Yes, completely. And that really comes through. Do you think kind of all of those hardships that you experienced and like you come through as such a positive, open person and soul, like is that something you have to work on, or are you naturally positive? Like, how do you keep so positive? And that's a big ask.
The same question. No, exactly. I'm always just looking forward to the next thing. And so I've always been really optimistic. And I think throughout the book, you'll realize that it's just, I'm talking from hindsight. Obviously, as a child, you look at those experiences and you're like, wow, I just did the best that I could in the time that I have and had, and that was enough. And I don't know how I got through it, but luckily for me, obviously the theme is love. And I was so lucky to have people come into my life at different points and show me unconditional love. So now I just try to, you know, return the favor. I think with anyone that I meet or anyone that I speak to, I don't ever want them to feel like they've got me on a bad day. And everyone has bad days, obviously. I had plenty of mental breakdowns throughout this year. But, you know, I just feel like I kind of look through those experiences through hindsight, and I'm able to use them as a bit of a superpower, a bit of a strength now, and say, well, look, I've got through that. What can I get through now? Like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
it's like
completely.
Challenge, you know, throw the challenges at me, because I think I've done the grunt work and I've got the hard part done. And now I'm just learning to, like, actually live my life out of that sort of survival mental state. And, you know, there's going to be some shitty things that happen in life, and I feel like I'm more resilient to actually deal with them now. So
yes, totally. Resilience. That is 100% what came through. That seems like that's a really big part of your life and your personality. So do you find that, like, because I feel like the pandemic was maybe like one long extended breakdown for a lot of people. And that was like the first time a lot of people had to deal with anything that was like even a little bit hard. Did you find that, like, some of the experiences from growing up that kind of did set you up to deal with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I even said something like, in 2020, I was kind of already like sort of semi built up in myself. Like, I built myself to be, you know, not financially struggling, or, you know, mental health was really strong at that point. So I was kind of ready for the pandemic in some weird way. But mind you, I didn't experience it the way that the East Coast did, because living in WA, it wasn't really that impactful. Like, it was to a certain degree, but we didn't have those like restrictions and, you know, lockdowns as to what the East Coast was having. So I was really lucky. I would say WA was very lucky, and I use that term very lightly, because I know that it, you know, impacted a lot of families and people. But I was so lucky that I wasn't in community, and that I was living in a very suburban area. I was, you know, much older age, because if I was living back in community, I think a lot of things would have been different. The spread would have been a lot worse, you know, and so, like, mind you, I did have definitely my mental breakdowns throughout the pandemic, but I think, yeah, it built a lot of people up, and I think it was probably good for some people in the terms of, like, you know, it's, you know, being adaptable. And having to be more open to things. Things don't go exactly how they're meant to. So you do have to be resilient. But then, you know, if you're not a typically resilient person and then you have to be resilient overnight, that's not going to come, like, it's just not going to happen overnight. Like, it's something that you build on. It's something that, you know, builds you up for other things to happen down the line. And so I was really, lucky with the pandemic, but at the same time, like, I'm just really grateful for the position that I was in at the point at that time.
Yeah, totally. Agreed. Just to pivot completely away from what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
So in the book, you talk a little bit about your sexuality, and coming to terms with that, reality. So do you identify as bisexual or pansexual, or do you not have a label at this stage?
Look, I feel like if I was to put any type of label on it, it would be more about pansexuality, or more pansexual, because I feel like I've always just been a person who just loves intentionally, loves hard, And it doesn't matter who that is, because I've dated girls, I've dated guys, I've dated non-binary people. So I've never really like sectioned myself into being, you know, a type. I use bisexually very fluid because everyone, you know, will only ever identify me as being bisexual because of The Bachelorette. But my friends and my family, they just know me as Brooke. And, you know, whoever I'm dating is whoever I'm dating, and they have no, you know, judgment on that. So, you know, I talk about the waves I went through with my sexuality. It didn't always come very easy to identify. I was like, oh, I love women. I love men. Okay, this is unusual. I've never experienced this before. And then, you know, later on, I just became really comfortable with just who I was. And that just, you know, shine through, and I was like, I don't really feel the need to do labels. The only reason why bisexuality is so affiliated, you know, when it's just joined to me, the show only casted for male and women, so it was only going to be a strictly bisexual show. For that reason, they did say that they were going to be gender diverse, but they can't say that they're gender diverse when they've only got male and female. So, of course, you know, if you were to label what the show is displaying, that would be only seen, like, you know, a type of, that would be only bisexual.
Yeah.
And for me, it was so much beyond that. Like, it was just like, you know, it was just showing genuine love. And you know, that just so happened to be a part of the LGBTQIA plus community. And now I'm just going to forever be casted, you know, into that bisexual label, which is fine. I'm not, you know, I've accepted it, but if I was to label myself more, I would probably be pansexual.
Yeah. Awesome. I think that's beautiful. I love that. so I don't want to talk too much about the show, and I'm conscious of time, but, you know, going into that experience as being the first bachelorette to, you know, be anything other than heterosexual and First Nations, is that something you were really aware of going in, and is that something you're really aware of now that you're like a representative for those communities?
Yeah, I was absolutely petrified. At the start, I had to think really hard about what that meant for, you know, I think not even just like for me, but, you know, for an Australian audience, what that kind of was, what was that displaying, and what was the messages and my intentions. And I never do anything in halves. If I do something, I do it wholeheartedly, 100%. I put everything into it. And so I had to really think about the decision of doing it first and then what was going to come after it. And I guess it's the same energy that I'm feeling at the moment is putting my book out there. It was the same energy that I'm feeling of doing The Bachelorette. And so, you know, it's very vulnerable. It's very scary. It's also the fear of the unknown. You don't know if people are going to love it or hate it. And for me, I just wanted to really focus and hone in on the fact that I was the first First Nations bisexual bachelorette ever to happen globally. And that was a huge milestone in my life, but also such a huge milestone in Australian society, in global society, like just in a global stance, being like, holy shit, this has not been done anywhere else. Showing this representation, showing this genuine, authentic love could mean a lot of people can come to terms with their sexuality, or seeing that display of affection on a mainstream television might help them feel more certain and reassured in themselves. So, this is what I was starting to then unpack once I had said yes, was like all the other stuff comes with it. It's like, oh my God. And I was trying to only hone in on the positive things. I know that they're always going to be like cynics and people that are just really like, you know, I've never grown up around seeing that display of affection between same-sex couples or between the LGBTQI community. Like, and so I know that there were going to be some negative aspects, but to be honest and to be fair, I never received as much as I thought that I would, if that was that's the case.
Yeah.
So I think Australia are more progressive and more understanding of what needs to happen for mainstream television, you know, in terms of diversity and cultural inclusion and et cetera. So I think, you know, it was a huge movement, but it wasn't rated well, which is sucks, but I don't think I was ever focused on that either. So
no, and I think the, let's say like quality over quantity, because a lot of my friends all watched it, we loved it. Yeah, it was great. It was a great time.
Thank you.
So we're going to move on to the next part of the podcast, which is just asking Brooke about her reading habits. Are you much of a reader? I mean, I can see your beautiful bookshelf, so I know you do read.
If you look at the theme of my books, the majority, the top are like memoirs. So I've read other memoirs of people and I've really loved their stories. I just love storytelling and I love people's lives. I don't know. I get so in, like, so captured or and captivated by people and how they work. So my reading habits, generally, if I'm looking at something on a shelf, it'll be someone's story and it won't be, you know, it'll be like... usually like maybe some by the color. and then my bottom shelf I have to get to, which is like majority some sort of self-helpy more books.
Yes. Self-help. It's definitely about
So I do read, but because I've been so focused on the memoir the last year and a half, I think that's been my sole focus, so I haven't had the brain capacity to think even outside that. But I'm always on an aeroplane because I travel so much for work, so I'm always reading or writing something on an aeroplane. So,
yeah, what's something that you've read recently that you really enjoyed?
Recently, there's two books that come to mind. I love Zoya Patel, her No Country Woman. Zoya was a big part of helping me write my memoir, actually, and helping me transcribe some of the recordings. And she then gifted me her book as well, which was just like, you know, so nice because, you know, she just helped me so much. And then I got to read her story as well. It's amazing. It's so amazing. It's kind of the similar thinking of being a part of a minority group, and she is Indian background. So I loved her book because her experiences were similar to mine. So it's crazy to think, like, you know, I didn't even know her from the start and she was just helping me. And then I got to read her story and I knew her through her, like I'd met her, but then I read her book and I was like, I feel like I know you now.
Yeah, totally. So,
and that's kind of what I wanted to do with Big Love, is that you think you know someone, but then you read their book and then you're like, wow, I think I know you on a more deeper, you know, emotional level.
Yeah, completely. So, yeah.
Yeah, No Country Woman is her book.
Okay, No Country Woman. I am going to write that down and pick it up for sure.
I think you'll love it. I think you'll love it.
Oh,
that's the only one that comes to my mind that I've read recently. Other than that, I'd love for people to read my book.
Yes, completely.
I know that there's a lady, or there's, I think it's like Margot Neal, and no, she's the editor. Sorry, hang on. So there's these First Nations knowledge books, and there's like an astronomy one, there's like story or song lines, and they're all First Nations stories and knowledge around those topics. And so the astronomy one, which I started reading but I hadn't finished, was about obviously the connection through First Nations culture and the stars. And it provides a science perspective, but then also the Dreamtime stories that go with it. And so it's really beautiful. I haven't quite finished it yet, but I recommend if people want to have that deeper knowledge, then please.
Yes.
I will find it and I will link it for you or send it to you so then you can share.
Yes, please do. I absolutely love those recommendations. I think just to finish off the show, I'm going to fire some questions at you and you can say whatever you want, whatever comes into your mind first. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What beverage do you prefer while reading?
Coffee.
Do you have a favorite author?
I'm loving Colleen Hoover.
Oh, lovely. A bit of Coho. Yeah. What do you listen to in the car?
Beyonce.
Yes. Renaissance.
Yeah, I'm loving that album.
Yes. You get in a lift and the person you've always wanted to meet is in there. Who is it and what would you ask them? It's a toughie. Oh, no. It's a toughie.
That's so tough. It would actually be Lizzo.
Oh, yes.
And I would just hug her. I wouldn't even say anything. I would just hug her and just say, you are amazing.
Oh, I love that so much. E-books, audiobooks, or physical books?
Oh, I would say audio because I love it in the car and on the planes as well.
Yeah.
So audio.
Totally. And finally, what are three things you can't live without?
Coffee, headphones, and a watch. I always wear a watch.
Love. Oh, perfect. You did very, very well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It's been so amazing talking to you. And I do kind of feel like I know you after I read the memoir, and it's like nice to meet you sort of in person.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. I appreciate it so much. Even just taking the time to like read it, it makes me heart that you got what I guess, you know, what you said, made me feel very happy about, you know, what other people get to experience as well. So thank you.
Yay.
So much.
I can't wait for other people to read it and to love it just as much as I do. For everyone listening, you can purchase a signed copy of Brooke's memoir, Big Love, which is out right now online at booktopia.com.au while stocks last. And you can check out Brooke's recommendations mentioned in this episode as well. If you enjoyed our show today, you can check out more episodes of Tell Me What to Read right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Drop the show a review on Apple Podcasts or a like on Spotify and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening and never stop reading.
Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Remember, all books mentioned in today's show can be found right now at booktopia.com.au. Links can be found in the description. We would also love to hear what you're reading, so feel free to join the conversation on social media. Search Booktopia on your favourite platform and join our book club. We'll catch you for our next episode, but until then, thanks for listening and never stop reading.